The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we finish up with our study of Sunday schools and youth groups, we continue looking at false objections to children being present in the worship service, and then we begin to examine the benefits of families worshiping together. Family integrated worship is the biblical pattern, and it is the pattern exhibited by the true church throughout the centuries of time. That's why families worship together in primitive Baptist churches. Join us today for the conclusion of this series. First, we have a song selection that we hope you enjoy. Then please stay tuned for the message.
Brethren, we are meant to worship and
let us tell them all.
sing redeeming grace.
One other objection that I'll deal with and then we'll move on is sometimes you hear this, especially about the business meetings. They'll say, well, church business is grown-up business. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm going to turn there, but we're not going to read much of it, but I'm just going to try to summarize it for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, who was the king there in Israel, Jehoshaphat was facing the Syrian army. And they had gathered against them. They were coming up against them. They were threatening them. They were going to destroy them. And it was a scary time. It was a time of great fear. Verse 3 says Jehoshaphat feared. He feared, okay? He was told that there was a great multitude coming. But notice what he did. He said Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, okay? And then he gathered them together and he began to talk to them about what was happening. And he prayed. He stood up and he prayed to God in the midst of the congregation. And I'm not going to go through all that because that's not my point. But Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, called this solemn assembly. And look at verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. You know, you might think they'd want to shield their kids from this danger and from this fear. You know, we'd about have to with this fragile generation we have today. It might cause them discomfort. It might cause them anxiety. But that's not what they did back in that day. Now, certainly, it said all Judah here. All Judah stood before the Lord, including little ones and wives and children. Now, listen, I understand that children, even young men and women who are still living at home, are subject to their father's or their mother's headship, and they need to follow their lead in the business of the church. But you know, our children need to see us in difficult circumstances. You know, you say, oh, they're going to have some real problems at church this Sunday. They're going to deal with discipline of somebody, or they're going to deal with a question that's a little bit contentious. Our children need to see us in those difficult circumstances. We can debrief them for good or for bad. You know, sometimes I've gone home and said, all right, guys, you see how I handled that? That's the way you need to handle it. Sometimes I've gone home and said, you see how I handled it? That's not the way you need to handle it, you know. But we need to teach them that. Listen, one of the best examples of that I can think of is our business meeting that we had when we were deciding whether to build a new fellowship hall or to build a new church building. And we sat here with all of the young folks. And if you recall, I went to every single member of this church, young and old, and asked them to express their opinion. We came out of that, Brother Mackey, unanimous. We came out of that on the same page. We didn't start on the same page. That's right. We didn't. In fact, we went into that meeting with at least five different ideas from different people about what to do. We did. We went into that meeting. I won't call them factions because they really weren't, but we had five different sets of folks that talked to me about, oh, we need to do this. No, we need to do that. And after we all came together and prayed, and the Lord was with us, we came out unanimous. Praise God. And we didn't leave the children out. They were involved, just as well. The young folks were involved. You see, these objections aren't really objections. They're not really valid. And we don't need to think of them that way. So now, in the time we have left this morning, I want to turn to the thoughts of the benefits of family integrated worship. Why we need to be doing it, what the benefits are. Well, first of all, we're just simply encouraged when we worship together. We're just simply encouraged. It encourages the older folks to see the young people in church. It encourages me. 2 John 4, there's not chapters in there, it's verse 4. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. 3 John, the 4th verse. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. How are they going to walk in truth if they don't know the truth? How are they going to walk in truth if they're not at the place where the pillar and the ground of truth is supposed to be? It is encouraging to one another when we worship together. Another benefit of family integrated worship is that we can protect best against error when we worship together. You know exactly what your children are being taught because you hear it with them. You see, I've been involved before with a church that had a Sunday school, and there was problems in that church. They believed the truth of grace in this particular church. It wasn't around here. They believed the doctrines of grace like we do, but they had a Sunday school, and they were telling me about a problem 20 or 30 years before that arose in that church, a split over doctrine. You know where it originated? It originated in the Sunday school. There was some parents or some people teaching that Sunday school that weren't on the same page with the preacher. They weren't preaching the things that came from the Word of God, and the next thing you know, they had a division in that church. We can protect against error when we worship together. You know, the mother is supposed to be the guardian ruler, the keeper at home, okay? Just to use this for an example. You mothers are supposed to be the keeper at home. That means the ruler. That doesn't mean the stayer at home. That means the one who guards the home. You're supposed to be the keeper at home. You can't protect against false teaching if you're not there. And that's part of your duties, mothers and fathers. Error can creep into a Sunday school class. And when the church is divided in teaching, it becomes divided in doctrine. And then it becomes divided, and it's a problem. We protect against error when we worship together. We grow and learn together as God intended when we worship together. You see, the church is supposed to be a mentoring body. It's not just a place we go to check off our list. We, as members, are supposed to mentor other members. In other words, the older people are supposed to teach the next generation. Psalm 71 and verse 18 says this, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." You know what Brother Mackey's job is to do? He and Sister Lorene are the oldest two members of our church. You know what their job is? It's to teach the younger generation. It's to teach me. And you know what my job is? It's to teach those younger than me. It's to pass on to all the way down to Brother Cal and Sister Lula who are coming here as babies. It's our job to pass down to this generation the power of God, to teach them about the power of God and the strength of God. You know, over in Titus, we'll just turn there for a second. We're going to turn back there before we end up. But in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, listen to this. This is going to show us that every member has a job, has a purpose, has a place in the church. Chapter 2 and verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now, you might think here he's about to launch into the doctrines of grace and eternal salvation. But you know, before he even gets there, he says, here's sound doctrine. It has to do with the way we deal with one another in church. "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Okay? That's the old men and the old women. All right, what about the young people? Verse 6, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." See, in the church, every member has a purpose. We work together. We learn together. We grow together. We mentor one another. That's actually the pattern for teaching preachers. One of the things that we don't have in the Primitive Baptist Church is we don't have seminaries. or cemeteries, as Elder Sonny Piles used to call them. He used to say the seminaries are really just cemeteries where preachers go to die. But I don't know about that. But we don't have seminaries here because the way that we teach young preachers, first of all, they have to be called by God. But preachers have to be called, young men have to be called by God to be a preacher. And the pattern for teaching preachers is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And verse 1, just to get the context. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, remember this is the old preacher Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall also be able to teach others also. You know, one of the things I loved about the Primitive Baptist Church when I began to realize that's where the Lord wanted me to be is we don't just, you know, if a young man comes up and says, hey, the Lord's called me to preach. You know, I was among a people at one point where they'd just ordain him. They'd say, okay, sure, let's go ordain him. They don't do that. We don't do that among the Primitive Baptists. We don't discourage them. I also was among a people that said, oh, if you think you've been called to preach, you run from it as hard as you can and as long as you can until you can't run no more. And then maybe you're called to preach. That didn't work out too well for Jonah, running from God. And I realized it wasn't working out too good for me. But by the same token, we don't just jump up and ordain them. Brother John Morgan exercised his gift for many years before we were ready to ordain him, before he was ready to be ordained. Look what the things you've heard me preach, he says. You commit them to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. Paul got it from Christ. Paul passed it on to Timothy, who is going to pass it on to faithful men who are going to be able to then teach others also. He gets all the way down to those that are being taught by those others as well, you see. The church is a mentoring body. And listen, the elder's job, the preacher's job, the pastor's job is unique. And that's why we'll sometimes have a man or a young man who will introduce the services from time to time. And that's something, that's just exhorting the brethren. You know, that's something that any male member of the congregation ought to be willing and able to try. But the elder's job is unique. He's the one that should be primarily speaking and teaching and preaching. You know, in Acts 20:28, Paul told those elders of Ephesus there, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Sometimes the preacher says I work for the congregation, but that's not true. I don't work for you. I work for God. God, you know, if you're correct and you're calling me to be your pastor, then I'm not here because you called me. I'm here because God wanted me here, you see. God is the one who moves preachers and moves congregations to call preachers. Sometimes we get it wrong. I've gotten it wrong before. I missed it before. I thought I was supposed to be one place, and I accepted it, and it turned out I was not supposed to be there. And you see preachers sometimes that lose the burden for a church. That's just because that's not something to get mad about. That's something that God has done. And Brother David Crawford, for example, he just left McClenny Church. He'd been there 46 years. 46 years. You say, well, surely he's just going to be there the rest of his life. He thought that, I'm sure. But God had other plans. And now they've called Elder Michael Green to be their pastor. One day, I won't be here. One day, if the Lord tarries, the time will come when I'll either be too old to pastor. God forbid, I don't want him to move me, but he could move me to somewhere else, but I don't expect that. I have nothing but expectations of being here till I die. But the time will come when I will die, and you'll have to find another pastor. But guess what? It's not a political race. It's not something you jump into quickly. It's something you pray about and you ask God to guide you, because the Holy Spirit makes a man the overseer of the congregation. And let me just say, I've known some men that I wasn't really sure that they were even called to preach. And I was pretty certain they weren't called to that particular church. And that was a grievous thing. That was a sad thing. My heart goes out to any man who's trying to pastor a congregation that he's not called to pastor. The elder's job, the bishop, the word there is episcopate, and it literally means an overseer. It means someone who looks out for somebody else. It's a man, literally means a man charged with the duty of seeing that things be done by others, that things to be done by others are done rightly. And the idea is that it's my job to oversee this congregation and try to make sure that you're taught right, both on doctrine and practice, and even from time to time go to you. If I see you erring and going down the wrong path, it's my job to go to you and to encourage you in that and to share with you what the Word of God says. And here's my point about this. No other person is so charged. No other person in the church is charged with the duty that the pastor has. And that's why putting somebody in charge of teaching the kids or somebody in charge of teaching this group or that group just doesn't work the way God wants it to work. You see, the pastor, the elder, is to preach and to oversee the congregation with the unction of the Holy Spirit. And we grow and learn under his preaching when we do it the way God says to do it. Another thing, as we bring this to a close, is we protect against complacency when we worship together. You know, it's a real temptation for us to just put off the education of our children onto somebody else. We do it all the time, don't we? It's tempting to send them to Sunday school to learn the scriptures. But remember what we said about Timothy? From a child, he had known the Holy Scriptures. They didn't have Sunday school back then. You know how he was taught? By his parents, by his mama and his grandmama. We must live it and teach it in our homes. And the last thing that I'll say about it is this. When we worship together, we raise a generation that is grounded in truth and practice. You know, today's church is a soundbite church. All people want is a short little soundbite that they can broadcast up onto the wall. People can't sit still. People don't have the attention span. Well, I want to say to you that the problem with that is that people, grown-ups, can't sit still because they've never had to sit still. They've never been taught to sit still. And that's not something that just happens. Church is a culture. Church is a body. And church is on purpose. It's intentional. And what we do here is intentional. Now, to bring this to a close, let me just say this. Sometimes we ask the question, what should I be looking for in a church? The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Number one, you need to be looking for the truth that's preached from the pulpit. I don't care how good the fellowship is, if the preaching is weak, then the church will eventually just kind of depart and sort of melt into the religious world. Secondly, we should not be looking for the best youth group, which we often hear that, right? Say, I'm going to this church because I got a better youth group. Nothing wrong, as I said, with youth. I'm thankful for the youth that we have, but they have a better youth program. Listen, there is no better youth program than the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God. When that woman at the well came to Jesus, he said, I've got water that you have no idea about. She said, how do you have this water? Because the well is deep and thou hast nothing to draw with. That's what the world thinks about the way we worship here. There's nothing to draw, okay? We don't have basketball courts and family life centers and that sort of thing. But you know what we have here? We have the living water. We have the truth of God's grace that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. There is no better message. There is no greater message. There is no more needed message in the that's out there in the world today than the message of salvation by grace alone. And if that won't draw you, then I can't come up with something to draw you. I want to close with this a quote from Elder J.D. Holder. Elder J.D. Holder was a well-known pastor in years past in North Mississippi. His nephew is Elder Joe Holder. He wrote Principles and Practices of the Primitive Baptists back in the 1900s. This is what he said. He said, "Do you ask why Primitive Baptists have no missionary societies, boards, Sunday schools, training unions, theological schools designed to make ministers and programs with countless auxiliaries to prop up the Lord's business? I shall gladly answer. Such things are not one time mentioned in our Bible, nor practiced in the early history of the church. Such things are the blundering additions to the Word of God. I know of no better reason to leave them off." That's why we don't have Sunday schools. And that's why we promote family integrated worship, because not one time is anything else authorized or promoted in the Word of God.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.